Hey guys, we're back once again, episode 33 of Dep Heads and Hiddlestoners. I'm Jen.
And I'm Terry.
And we're here going to discuss the various loves of Johnny Depp. Seems appropriate for the, for the circumstances.
What are the circumstances, man?
With the trial and everything, and being accused of being an abuser.
Well, and also, very interestingly, and, you know, in a way I can't wait, one of his former longtime lovers, Kate Moss, is set to take the stand sometime, I believe.
Yes, we're going to get to that.
Yes.
We're definitely going to get to that. But she is scheduled to take the stand Wednesday, I believe is the date. That will be the 25th of May, 2022, just in case you're listening to this sometime in the future. But yeah, we're going to get to all that. So we're not going to go ahead and discuss the trial this time, just because we're probably going to be discussing it all the way through the podcast. Any other notable occurrences you can think of that we need to mention before we get started on this?
You know, when we're talking about Johnny, this pretty much is it. And I do think that after this week and this trial is settled, then we can certainly talk with confidence about Johnny's future projects. I feel very optimistic.
I do as well. Now, however, Johnny Depp's birthday is June 9th. Let me take a quick look at my calendar here. Let me find my calendar. I got a new phone, guys. I am so sorry, but I can't find anything on this thing.
So he's going to be turning 59.
Right? He is going to be turning 59. Yes, he is.
Man, he looks great.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I keep hearing people say, oh, I hope I look that good at that age. Honey, I wish I looked that good now.
Well said.
All right, so next week and then... Okay, perfect. Our next podcast will actually be on... For Johnny, will be on the 8th. We'll have a Tom Hiddleston podcast on June 1st. And then June 8th will be Johnny. So it doesn't hit exactly on his birthday like Hiddleston's did, but close enough, hey?
It's pretty close.
Or as a friend of mine used to say, close enough for government work.
Right.
So, next Johnny podcast will be just a dedication to him. I'm thinking we're probably going to do maybe some Wattpad stories, maybe some DeviantArt like we did with Tom, but I think we're going to branch out and do a few other things like maybe... cosplay characters, some of the more popular cosplay characters, some of the least. And that's, of course, for the notable characters. I mean, you could put on a suit and call yourself Nick from Nick of Time. It's not hard to do. But some of the more notable characters, Jack Sparrow, Willy Wonka, Sweeney Todd, I'll see what I can dig up on the different cosplay actors for those as well.
I would love, and you know, I will do the research for this, I would love to see some excellent Hunter S. Thompson cosplays.
Oh, yeah.
What a distinct look, and Johnny killed it.
He did.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Well, he's actually he was very good friends with Mr. Thompson, so.
There's a rumor going around that when Hunter Thompson died.
Johnny shot him out of a cannon.
Right.
Yes, he did.
And it's true.
It is true. He asked Johnny to do so, and he did.
Pretty great.
Yep, talk about dedication and friendship. There you go.
I know.
All right, well, without further ado, let's get on into it. I could not find anything from... before 1983 or so. So I couldn't find anything before he was about 20. So that, I'm going to have to leave up to y'all's imagination because I don't have anything on it. Now, in 1983, Johnny met and married a woman by the name of Lori Ann Allison. She was 6 years his senior, and they met through her brother, who happened to be a member of Johnny's band. Hey, Carrie, what do you know about Miss Lori?
You know, honestly, when I was kind of looking into doing a little research, I automatically went to some of the more well-known romances. prior to that, you know, I knew about Sherilyn Fenn, and that's about it. Kate Moss was kind of my starting point.
Oh, okay, well, that's God. You only went through two or three of them then.
Right.
But yeah, Lori Ann Allison was a makeup artist. Came out here, from what I gather, she came out here with the guys, or she was already out to in California when the band came out. One of the two. But she's a makeup artist for celebrities. One of the celebrities she happened to do makeup for was none other than Nicolas Cage. And everyone knows that Nicolas Cage is the one who encouraged Johnny to try acting. Helped him, you know, pass his auditions, helped him get the first couple of parts. But Nicolas Cage was fundamental in getting Johnny up on that big screen. So directly we have Miss Lori to thank for that. So thank you very much, ma'am. We appreciate it. The world appreciates it.
That is cool.
Now, even 20 or 30 years after their divorce, in 2015, they divorced in 1985. 2015, Lori was quoted as saying, "Well, we all know he's a talented actor and can pull off the pirate thing like nobody's business, but he's also an extremely talented guitar player and started out in South Florida playing the local Hollywood Fort Lauderdale club circuit." She also claimed that he is a, quote, soft-hearted person who isn't abusive in any way. They have remained friends throughout the last... no animosity between them. They cited irreconcilable differences as the cause for their divorce. And that seems to be a running theme, I've noticed. And you'll see when we go on through the next few. But yeah, just no real reason given, just irreconcilable differences. And you know, sometimes that's how it happens. You're with someone, you think that's going to be it for the rest of your life, and then you know, things happen and you grow apart. Unfortunately, yeah, you know, it does happen. Go ahead.
Well, you know, irreconcilable differences, that's certainly kind of a blanket term, but when they speak warmly of you and it's irreconcilable differences, you guys didn't mesh. You know, they were a young... He was young.
She was 26, he was 20.
Wow. So she was older.
Yes, she was 6 years his senior.
Yeah, you know, it just didn't work out, and that's fine. You know, that's typical of many relationships and marriages.
And another recurring theme is most, if not all, of Johnny's former partners are incredibly successful in their own right as well, either during or after they dated Johnny. Miss Lori is, pardon me, is the vice president of Crest of the Lucky Mane. I have no idea what that is. I looked it up and all it showed me was a crest, like an actual symbol, crest.
Must be an inside thing.
So I'm not sure what that is, but she also has her own line of fashion and cosmetics. Her lip gloss line is called Serendipity, and yes, I checked the spelling. It's not deputy, it's Serendipity. Hey, I would have done it.
Yeah. And well, she kept the last name, right?
Yes, I was about to say. She did keep the last name. She has not remarried, and she still goes by Lori Depp. Now, shortly after her and Johnny said their goodbyes, Johnny ran into a fellow student at the American Film Institute in 1985, a little bit later, by the name of Sherilyn Fenn. And I know this is the one you were wanting to talk about, Carrie. Sherilyn Fenn, in case you didn't know, is one of the stars of Twin Peaks.
She was the amazing Audrey Horne on Twin Peaks, right?
Right.
She did the iconic scene, and it blew everybody away when she did it in 1990, but she tied a cherry stem into a knot with her tongue. And the camera kind of, you know, lovingly did, and I mean...
Obviously it made an impression.
Oh, yeah, and it left a huge, no pun intended, impression on a lot of young men like myself. You're right, and I'm going to try not to go overboard with this, but...
Oh, you're fine. Go ahead. I go overboard all the time.
Sherilyn Fenn, to me, is just kind of one of those ethereal, enchanting, super sexy women that checks all the boxes.
Need to speak up just a little bit, baby.
Well, yeah, she checks all the boxes, and there you go.
I don't know. she's one of your its.
She is absolutely an it girl. She's very beautiful. She's very artistic, and her kind of hooking up with Johnny
just gives her a little bit more street cred.
Well, yeah, well, and you know what? Actually, it makes sense. In a way, it kind of makes Johnny more human for me, because approaching an angel like that and asking her out on a date...
Actually, I believe it was the other way around. They co-starred together.
Excuse me?
They co-starred together in a film called Dummies. It was a student production at the American Film Institute, and I do believe it was Johnny who asked her out, not the other way around.
Wow. My man's got stones.
That he did. Hey, he damned. He had children with Vanessa Paradis. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Big cojones. Kate Moss, yes. Jennifer Grey. Need I say more?
Oh my God.
All right. So, now Sherilyn was quoted as, and this was in The Big Issue. It's an online newspaper type or magazine type. She was quoted as saying, "We went out for 2.5 years when we were just starting out in the business. He was very sweet. He was my first love. I had found real love. It was with someone who was walking the same path, but even if he wasn't, the love and the connection was strong enough. Cooking meals, hanging out, laughing, and crying."
Wow.
Yeah.
She still, to this day, decades later, declares that he is her first love.
She does. And they both recall the relationship fondly. Neither one has anything bad to say about the other. Once again, they split in 1989. No reason was given. There's no reason to be found. So, just for unknown reasons, irreconcilable differences. There we go. But, I mean, when you're both starting out in that demanding an industry, there's gotta be, I mean, it's hard just starting out as a normal, regular, working family. But in that pressurized industry, I've got to imagine that the pressure is multiplied tenfold.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's gotta be tough. And with two of them, both of them just starting out, you know, this one's got to go here, that one's got to go there, this one's got an audition, that one's got a taping. I mean, it had to have been crazy. There's no wonder that they did end up splitting.
Sure.
But I could definitely see it. Well, they split up in 1989. And from there, Johnny did not stay single long, guys. So, as a matter of fact, this, when he divorced Heard, this is the longest he's been single without a named partner since 1983. So, if that gives you any idea. Now, in 1989, Johnny met and instantly cared for Miss Jennifer Grey. Everybody knows Jennifer from the Dirty Dancing film. Jennifer Grey, Dirty Dancing fame. She got her nose fixed, and now nobody knows her.
Yeah, right. That's so crazy. And, you know, it is very distinctive. You're right. When she got her nose fixed, she looks like a totally different person.
She really does. Absolutely. Now, Miss...
Well, you know, a lot of people remember her from the Dirty Dancing films.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That was certainly her biggest role, certainly. But a lot of guys... Well, probably remember her from Dirty Dancing because we're mostly Westerners, Americans, Europeans. But she was also a pivotal character in Red Dawn.
Was she?
Yeah, she was. She was, I think, one of the sisters of one of the characters, and that was another Patrick Swayze movie.
Wow, and that's really funny because the two of them could not stand each other.
Right.
Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey could not stand each other. And they had such chemistry. I mean, they are both consummate professionals. They had such chemistry on that big screen. Oh, they hated each other off screen.
Right. And you know, really, that is testament to how great both of those two actors were. Really, really.
Yeah. And, you know, I will always, no matter what, I will always envy Jennifer Grey for being able to act opposite him. And now, damn it, I have another reason to envy her.
Lots of exposure to Patrick Swayze.
Oh, well, that, and she dated Johnny Depp. As a matter of fact, she was engaged to Johnny Depp for 9 months. Now, this is a kind of weird, funny, something I would do kind of situation. She was dating Matthew Broderick. They split up. Within a week, she was dating Johnny Depp. Within 2 weeks of dating him, they got engaged. 2 weeks.
Wow.
They had known each other 2 weeks.
Johnny Depp would probably be a pretty good rebound.
Well, yeah, but you don't get engaged to your rebound. That's not how rebounds work.
Well, when you're Johnny Depp, maybe.
Well, you're right. You know, it's kind of, you know, the Marilyn Manson quote. You can't even be called gay for sleeping with Johnny Depp because, hey, it's Johnny Depp.
Right.
So I guess, you know, your rebound can't be a rebound if, hey, it's Johnny Depp.
Yes, right. It's beyond a rebound.
So now she, as bad as I want to dislike the girl, she sounds more and more like me the more I read this. Now she's about 3 years older than Johnny.
Okay.
She was born in 1960. He was born in 1963. Now, she's quoted on the Drew Barrymore show as stating, you have to understand Johnny Depp, 1989 Johnny Depp. So beautiful. You've never seen a more beautiful. It's almost inhuman.
Oh, my God.
Well, come on. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I remember 1989 Johnny Depp quite well. Woo! Yeah, I don't think there was a more beautiful person out there. I need to check. I have the information somewhere, and I didn't think to check it before we started recording, but I know he won Sexiest Man Alive twice. People's Sexiest Man Alive, he's won it twice. So I'll have to check and see what those dates are, what those years are.
I wouldn't be able to put my finger on it either, but I can absolutely see that, you know.
But yeah, not just once, but twice.
Right.
I mean, that ranks right up there with Tom Hiddleston's Rear of the Year award. But then Jennifer goes on to say, it was really a sign that there was trouble afoot on my part. I just thought it was God rescuing me from one bad situation and just lovingly plopping me into a Johnny Depp souffle.
A Johnny Depp souffle?
Of course, you know, if you really look at that statement, it could be out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah. And that being said, probably a pretty fantastic fire.
Burn me, baby. Well, Jennifer is one of the few that has anything even slightly negative to say about Johnny. She states that his behavior was the reason for the end of the relationship. She said, quote, he started missing his flights home to L.A., having overslept, or when he did come home, he'd be crazy jealous and paranoid about what I'd been up to while he was gone. She ended the relationship with a note she left in a hotel room one day after he left for a morning meeting and failed to come back afterward or even try to contact her.
Yeah,
I can see it. She'd had enough. Not playing that game. But yeah, so that's one of the few negative comments that I've heard. Her and one other ex even were the only ones that had anything even slightly negative to say. But my favorite is up next. Now, they split in 1989. They were together for 9 months. They got engaged 2 weeks after they met, so they hadn't even known each other a year, and it was already over.
It started out, it burned hot, and then finally just...
burned hot and burned out.
That's right.
Absolutely. But hey, sometimes that's the way it goes. And I'm reminded of a quote, and I cannot quote it word for word here because I do not have it in front of me. But during the infamous Playboy interview, I have that magazine. I have the original. So I have the interview. And the interviewer asked Johnny if he was faithful. And Johnny said, are you asking, am I true? Or are you asking, am I monogamous?
Right.
He said, those are two totally different things. And, you know... unfortunately, when we're younger, a lot of times we confuse the two. So, you know, that might have had a little something to do with it. But that's just me speculating. I've not heard rumors or anything. So, you know, don't chalk that up to fact. That is just me wondering.
Well, what he said was, in a way, you know, what he said. You know, he could have answered, you know...
oh, no, what I was saying is that, yes, we know there's a difference now, but a lot of times when we're younger, we don't see that, and we feel the need to not be monogamous, but not be honest either. But yeah, he was definitely very, very precise about his answer. He said he was 100% true to who he was with. Absolutely, without a doubt. But that did not equate to monogamous, because sometimes she wants to experiment or you want something different. And being true just means being honest and working together as a team.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, he definitely understood the difference then. But that was in 1993, I believe. Do you believe that's when that magazine came out? December 93. But yeah, so
do you own that magazine?
Yes, I have it wrapped in plastic just like you would a comic book.
Amazing.
I actually, once again, thank Mr. Barry for that one. He got it for me for Christmas last year.
That is cool.
Yup. Now,
and actually, can we be unconventional and do that shout out to our fantastic sponsor, if you will?
Sure. Guys, it is thanks to Barry's continuing support and care for the show that we are still on our streaming services. He's the one who's funding all of that for us. Even though he cannot be a part of the show at this time because of various different commitments he's made other places, he still listens to us every week. He still loves you guys and wants to see more of you. And we're still waiting for that first email. So, but yeah, thanks, Barry. We appreciate all you do for us, and you know we're never going to forget you. You're the one who got this thing started, man.
Well, you know, and Barry does these kind of cool little things on the side, you know, besides being a fantastic patron.
Oh, absolutely.
I had no idea that he was cool enough to gift you that issue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He found it online and got it for me. He's also gotten me several, my my picture done by Mitch Ballard, where I'm standing in between Jack Sparrow and Loki.
Right.
That
is
also thank you to Barry. He got that done for me. He is actually friends with Mitch Ballard. So, when I made that, because I was just jokingly, I was joking around, and I was like, yeah, if I was going to have myself put in a picture like that, drawn up in a picture, I'd have to be standing between Loki and Jack Sparrow.
Of course.
I made the comment once, and 6 months later, that's what I get for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's an amazing guy. Pays attention, he listens.
And, you know, that being said, you should also take a picture of this issue and post it to the blog, because that's quite an artifact. That's really, really cool.
That's an idea. I will do that after I post the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Yeah, I definitely need to do that. Yeah, in that same interview, he's playing with a Lucite-encased killer bee that someone sent him.
What? all right.
Yeah, like I said, this is back in, if I'm not mistaken, it was December 93. So the killer bees were a big thing back then. But someone had found, bought, did something, a killer bee, an African killer bee, encased in Lucite, and sent it to Johnny. Of course, that's not even close to the weirdest stuff that he's received. We're not going to talk about some of the bodily items that he's received. Woof.
You know, if only we could do the research and do an episode of the weirdest things that Johnny or Tom have received as fan gifts in the mail.
I'm actually working on that. The problem is I'm an independent reporter. So a lot of the managers, the agents, the handlers, they don't take independent reporters seriously. Oh, it's just somebody looking to, get a word from their idol to speak to. But yeah, I'm definitely working on getting some ins on that. And not just with Johnny and Tom, but I was considering doing that. I've got one coffee table book on the way. We're going in negotiations right now for the Tom Hiddleston quotes coffee table book. So I'm working on that. But I was thinking about doing one just like you said, just the weirdest items that some of these actors and actresses have ever received through the mail, or given by hand, just whatever gifts.
Yeah, and that we're aware of.
Well,
I'm sure there's some stuff that they ended up receiving, they kind of tucked it away.
Well, I'll tell you what. Give me a couple weeks. Let me do some research on that. We'll see where it goes.
It's fascinating.
All right. Excellent. So, any idea who's next after Miss Jennifer Grey in 1989?
I am very sure, because I've been anticipating this next one. I think Winona Ryder.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Another brunette.
Oh, yes. And Winona Ryder was born October 29th, 1971. So she is about 8 years Johnny's junior. So in 1989, she would have been 18?
I think 17.
Yeah.
Doing the math.
Yeah. Early 89, she would have been 17.
Wow, that's actually crazy young.
Yeah. That, well, 17. She was 17 or 18. No, she wasn't. I'm doing the math backwards. I am so sorry.
How old was she?
No, I'm right. I'm right. 18. She was 17 or 18. I did the math correctly. I'm the math whiz. I like math. Check your calculator. 1989 minus 1971.
89, yeah, she would have been 18.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
She turned 18 in October. So she was incredibly young when they met, and Johnny was 20, I'm wanting to say 27.
I think I'm recalling the urban legend because they met at the premiere of Great Balls of Fire.
Yes,
right?
Yes, they did.
And we're talking about basically, you know, the Jerry Lee Lewis movie.
Right.
And how he married the much younger cousin.
Right.
And there was that same age difference.
Well, it's not an incredible age difference when you're talking about, say, 27 and 35. You know.
Well, the premiere was June 1989. She just was still 17.
She was 17.
Johnny was 26.
He was, okay, 26. All right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at pictures of the two of them from that era, they are so perfect. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Oh,
Johnny,
yeah.
Quit messing with these babies. Go back and pick Winona back up. Man, those two were perfect.
Well, Winona is kind of a different case in Hollywood.
Absolutely.
You know, Courtney Love famously said, if you want to be a thing in Los Angeles, you have to have a fight with me and fuck Winona Ryder.
Wow.
And you're something, and that is quotable. You can, in fact, access.
Oh, something else. But the thing about Courtney Love, she lies as easily as she breathes. So having her support can be worse than none, but she actually claims that Johnny Depp saved her life at the Viper Room one night.
You're talking Courtney Love?
Yes, Courtney Love.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that.
She says that Johnny Depp saved her life. He gave her CPR and mouth-to-mouth when she OD'd on heroin until the paramedics got there. Now, having done some research, I could not find any indication that Johnny was CPR certified, and the man is smart enough to know that if you give CPR without being certified, you can go to jail for a very long time if something goes wrong.
Right.
So I'm not going to say that she's not telling the truth. I'm just putting that out there. But yeah. And I mean, if he did, bravo. Unfortunately, it was Courtney Love, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I'm glad he saved somebody. You know, that's just, but yeah.
Well, you know, I think that I've learned being involved in this podcast that we have a lot of actors and actresses that are in Hollywood that have that sort of...
You're fading out.
I have found that these people that are in Hollywood, we're talking like the 80s, the 90s.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that they're not going to report in the papers. And like you said, there are holes in your research simply because no one's publishing anything.
Right. And there is that too.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you can only kind of imagine Johnny's frustration at this trial where there weren't witnesses. Because there's that whole, we can't talk about this man.
Right.
Amongst friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Him, you know, doing CPR to somebody, you know, maybe it's Courtney Love.
Well, and if it was around the same time of River Phoenix, that might be why it was not, at the Viper Room. That might be why it was not publicized.
Right.
Because that death actually, I mean, that ripped Johnny down to his soul. Because he'd heard that someone, he was in the back, and heard that someone had OD'd in the parking lot. And he's like, oh my God, you know, who was it? What happened? You know, do we have any more information? And no, we don't know anything else. Well, once it came down that it was River that had died, and, you know, that the paramedics did not get there in time and that he did not make it, Johnny lost his shit. That's when he decided to sell his shares of the Viper Room. Yep, he couldn't handle it, and I don't blame him. I mean, that's a really tough situation to be in all the way around.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about these situations, and then we talk about his personal life. There is so much that we likely don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, granted. But the thing about it is, and I'm going to take this opportunity to say it. I will say it once, and then I will drop it.
Please do.
What? Say it or drop it?
No, please say it.
The American sense of entitlement. People, they do not owe us anything. They do not owe us explanations. They don't owe us a hello. They don't owe us a picture, a handshake, a look in the eye. They don't owe us anything. So for all of you out there going, man, they should have said something more about this, or man, I really wish they'd have said something about that so I could know it. Why? It's not our business. We are lucky that these stars, these icons, allow us as far into their lives as they do. So if you ever get the chance, if you see them, if you get the chance to meet them, be civil, be humble, and above all, please, be human. You don't have to go after these guys like animals in order to get their attention.
Right.
Sorry, I'll climb down off my soapbox, but that is one of my biggest pet peeves, and that is why a lot of the stars nowadays live in Europe instead of here in the States.
Yeah, or otherwise, you know, kind of bubbles.
Right. Well, over in Europe, they can walk down the street and go to the coffee shop without worrying about getting mobbed on the way there.
Right.
You know, here, not a chance. That is not going to happen. And both Depp and Hiddleston have made the same type of comment that the one request they get most often and the one that bothers them the most is, can I have a kiss? Would you walk up to a total stranger that you had never met and never seen before and ask them, can I have a kiss? Even on a bet, would you?
Common decency, I would.
Exactly.
I would hope that would prevail for me, but, you know.
But because these guys are stars, we feel like we know them. And the fact is, you may feel that way, but honey, they don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Give the guys a break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Treat them like human beings. Treat them like individuals. Don't treat them like a piece of meat at the market.
Okay. That you're obsessed with.
Hey, I can be obsessed.
Don't treat them like they're your meat.
I can be obsessed, but I am not. If I ever had the chance to meet them, I would be absolutely respectful. I would be 100% hands off, no matter how badly I would want to reach out and touch them. You know, that is just not cool. They, you know, they don't deserve to be pawed and messed with like that. They have their own sensibilities and feelings, and that is not one of their desires, to be pawed by a bunch of people. They have no clue who they are.
Yeah, you know, and these people tend to gravitate towards people they work with. And
right.
So Winona Ryder, you know, she was already, well, at that point, no, but into the relationship, she started doing roles with them.
She did. She actually only did one. She only did one role with Johnny.
But what a role.
Oh, but what a role. Now, they moved in together. They had been dating for only a few months. And before they even began dating, Johnny had to get her father's approval. So her father gave the approval with reservations. He did not like the fact that Johnny was so much older, and apparently was well on his way into the, you know, onto the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He, you know, he had a bit of hesitation there, but to start with, he allowed it to happen and, you know, it was all good. They moved in together after only a few months. They had a place in New York as well as a place in LA. As a matter of fact, in that same Playboy interview, the reporter talks about Winona coming in to gather Johnny up because she dropped him off and went to do some shopping and then came back. And she came in and, you know, she's telling him what all she bought for him, some pajamas and this and that. It was really cute. But the reporter talks about how cute they are together and just how, you know, how adorable they look. So, Johnny was quoted as saying, "There's been nothing during my 27 years that compares to the feeling I have with Winona. It's like this weird bound atom or something. You can think something is real, but it's different when you feel it." He was quoted that in a Rolling Stone article. And he was also quoted with this about the relationship and the breakup. "It's very difficult to have a personal life in this city. In my relationship with Winona, it was my mistake to be as open as we were. I thought if we were honest, we would destroy the curiosity monster. Instead, we fed it. We gave people permission to feel like they were a part of it. The relationship ended in 1993 after the release of the one and only movie that they've starred in together, and that one and only movie was Edward Scissorhands."
Yep, yep.
Yep. And now...
got the tattoo.
I do have the tattoo. It is on the blog if anybody would like to see it.
Well, he got the tattoo, the
he got Winona Winona Forever.
He was really feeling it.
Which, unfortunately, he had changed to Wino Forever after the breakup. Yeah.
You know, Amber, he advertised it. You knew what you were getting into.
But, yeah, he, but I've said it before, I'll say it again. He needs to go scoop her back up and say to hell with all these idiots. But now, because see, here's the thing. There's always a thing, and here's the thing. Thank you, real genius. Winona Ryder's father was partially responsible for the breakup. He had convinced Winona that she was too young to settle down. Her career was just taking off. There was too big an age difference. Yada, 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 yada. And Winona listened to Daddy, which, for the most part, has served her well. I mean, she's done very well for herself with her father's advice, wisdom, and guidance. But, that being said, I do believe he dropped the ball on the whole Johnny situation. I really do. Johnny proposed, Winona said yes, and Daddy said no.
Wow.
But, and of course, that was not the only factor in the breakup, but that was a very large one. Now, after the two split, both of them suffered severe bouts of depression and struggled with self-harm, self-harming behavior. Winona Ryder passed out drunk one night, smoking a cigarette, and lit her hotel room on fire like to kill herself. That's just one of the many instances. Johnny Depp trashed a very expensive hotel room, claiming that an armadillo had done it. Yep. And that cost him a couple nights in jail and about $10,000. But they both went through that really difficult period of adjustment, depression, anxiety, self-harm. So it looks to me like the best thing they could have done was stay together. But, you know, hey, that's me looking on the outside, from the outside looking in. So, you know, yeah. What do I know?
Well, they both certainly made the choice that had to be made.
Right. Right. And they, once again, split very amicably. Now, Tim Burton. I don't think I got a quote from Winona, except for the fact that, you know, she said he was very kind and generous and caring and loving.
She said he was never abusive or violent.
Oh, yes, she did. She said that in she said that in her statement to the court for the defamation case, I believe. But now Tim Burton. Now this is what gets me. Tim and Johnny were already friends by this point. They had done Edward Scissorhands. They both really worked well together. They understood each other. Very good friends. after Johnny Depp and Winona split, Tim Burton was quoted as saying, "I felt weird being around him. Like he wasn't Johnny anymore. It's almost as if Winona had taken his soul, his love."
Wow.
Yeah. Talk about deep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it said he stumbled around for weeks, even when he was dating other people. He still had, you know. But yeah, they ended up splitting in 1993 after Edward Scissorhands, so. And the next lucky lady on the list is another one that I am just, I love this woman. I love her, love her, love her. She is an amazing actress. She is beautiful. She is talented. What else can you say about Miss Juliette Lewis? She is absolutely incredible.
What years were they going out?
Oh, they went out briefly, quote unquote, in 1993.
Okay.
Same year that they filmed What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I could not find a quote point that says this is where they met, but I believe they met on the set of What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I have not found anything to contradict that. So, they dated briefly right after Lewis ended things with Brad Pitt. And with Johnny, he was in between Winona Ryder and Kate Moss.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
And that, believe it or not, that is all I can find about their relationship.
Well, that's because they likely were smart and didn't talk about it.
And Johnny got his ass kicked for, you know, putting everything out there with Winona, and he decided he wasn't making the same mistake twice.
Right.
Good for you. Most definitely. That's the one credit I can give Hiddleston above Johnny Depp. He refuses, absolutely refuses, to talk about his love life. He will not talk about dating. He will not talk about who he's dating. He will not talk about breakups. He will not talk about incidents. If you see a picture with him and some chick, don't ask him to talk about it. The time. But he had been seen with the same female several different times, red carpet events and things, and he was asked about it, and he said, "All I can tell you is at this point you can print that I'm still single. There's no ring on this finger." So, and yet and still, there is still no word, no official word, if he's engaged or not. Still waiting on that, guys.
Right. Smart.
Well, yeah. I can just see it. Yeah, Tom Hiddleston's engaged. Yay. No. That was a birthday present from her grandmother. You know, something like that.
Sure.
That would be my luck. So, yeah, we're not declarations until it is official. So, as of now, it is not official yet. So, we're still waiting on that one. Well, in between Juliette Lewis and Kate Moss, there was a brief, quote, sexual affair.
Okay.
And this is out of Ellen's mouth. She said they had a sexual relationship, not a relationship.
Okay.
But that's Ellen Barkin. Now, she is 9 years his senior. So, Johnny's all over the map here. He likes them young. He just likes women. That's, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
young,
yeah.
Old, same age as him. I don't think he really cares. But now, they briefly dated in 1994. And possibly again in 98, although that has not been confirmed or denied by either party, when they were working on Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas together. Now, this is the only, like I said, besides Jennifer Grey, this is the only other ex that had anything bad to say about Johnny. And she has been on the stand testifying for Amber Heard during this trial. So, but, you know, judge for yourselves. I think it's a case of sour grapes, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, you know, sure. You're going to have every once in a while a lover scorned.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, us old bitches, we're... Especially when we get, you know, that young man, and then he decides to go off somewhere else. Oh, hell no. But no, she states that he's a jealous man, controlling, always asking, where are you going? Who are you going to be with? What did you do last night? If I'm not mistaken, those are questions you ask your partner. Yeah, hey, okay, who are you going to be with? Yeah, I wasn't around. What'd you do last night? That sounds like relationship questions, not jealousy control questions.
Yeah, well, you want to know, I mean, you know, it's not because you're jealous, you're just like, where are you going? You know,
and
it's
yes.
Not just an automatic.
Well, and at the same time, you know, a lot of it depends on tone of voice, inflection. So, you know, I may be way off base. And he might have been, you know, Jennifer said he was, you know, the jealous type. Although, Johnny, my man, think about it. What do you got to be jealous about? Seriously, no, there is no one that matches up to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, she.
You know, he maybe wasn't thinking that way, though. You know, he is a sensitive person. It seems like he focuses on these lovers, you know, deeply. And
to the exclusion of himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that he conscientiously thinks of himself as, if you will, like a, you know.
He does not.
Beautiful angel or sexual god on earth, you know.
People call him sexy, and he really cannot take it. He was on the Oprah Winfrey Show one afternoon, and she brought up one of his iconic pictures back in the very first season of 21 Jump Street, where he's wearing the cutoff t-shirt and the tight blue jeans, and, you know, shows that tanned tummy and that beautiful face, and he literally turned red and almost walked off the stage. He's like,
right.
You don't know how bad I hate those pictures.
Sure.
He does not see himself as sexy. He does not see himself as beautiful. He can't understand many people are attracted to him, and, you know, maybe that's part of the problem, is he does not understand his own self-worth. But at the same time, I guess it's good that he doesn't worth with his image. But yeah, he definitely does not see himself as that beautiful creature that we see.
Well, you know, he was born in freaking
Kentucky.
You know, his mom was a waitress, and he went to school, he went to Florida, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he grew up in Florida, though.
Yeah.
So.
He was humble.
And he has remained so, which just absolutely amazes me.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, the man is humble. I still cannot get over the fact that every day, no matter what he's had to deal with during the trial, you know, he's in the courtroom from 8 in the morning to 5 or 6 in the afternoon. Yet, every single day that he's in that courtroom, every time it's time to go home, he takes and puts all his stuff away. He goes and grabs a stack of magazines or pictures or something. Gets out his Sharpies, makes sure they write, and heads out the door to see his fans.
And, you know, everybody kind of thinks about how he's the guy that bought the island, you know, and he lives on an island and that sort of thing. When you've done a few pictures, he got a deal on that island that
he
bought for $3.6 million. I would do that.
Right, and it's like, it's worth triple.
Yeah, and you know, he's shy. He doesn't really flaunt that. He doesn't talk about it. He really is just like the guy that's an artist, yep. that came across a great deal of money through his craft. And of course, he's still an introvert because he was born an introvert.
And he always will be. And
yeah.
I hate that in one, at one standpoint. You know, I think that his life might be a bit easier if he was a bit more accepting of his own fame, accepting of his own popularity. And I'm not saying get a big head. I'm saying just understand, okay, I don't know what it is, but there's something about me that these people love. And so, okay, I just need to accept that. He still has not gotten to that point yet, and I doubt at this late date, I doubt he ever will. But, you know, his life probably would be quite a bit easier if he could just roll with it and, you know. But he is very humble. He is extremely shy. I think the only movie that he's only seen a couple of his own movies. One of them is Rango, because he watched it with his daughter. He watched it with his daughter.
Sure.
And that's the only reason he saw it. And I think he said he had seen one of the Pirates movies because he watched it with Jack, with his son. So,
it's Disney.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's Disney, so of course, you know, you've got a good... If you're in a Disney franchise and you've got, like, a young kid, you're going to watch a Disney movie with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be yours, you know.
But yeah, he is infamous for... At premieres of his own movies, he does the red carpet thing, he does the pictures, he meets the fans, he walks in like he's gonna, and as soon as the lights go down and the curtain goes up, he's up and out the door. He does not sit and watch his own movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, before, you know, all of this, you know, court stuff or what have you, he was known as one of those Hollywood actors that will absolutely entertain his fans and stop for autographs. I mean, that's part of his reputation.
Oh, yeah. He has been quoted as saying, I've looked at my handler or my manager and gone, oh, my God, if I have to take another selfie, I swear to God, I'll scream. And then just that quick, someone comes, oh, my God, can I have a picture? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
come on.
Yep.
You know? So, and I mean, he's the only time he's ever, like, walked away from his fans is when his handlers are going, come on, Johnny, we gotta go, Johnny, come on, Johnny, we gotta go, Johnny. you gotta get inside, man, come on.
Well, and it's a segue to put us back on the path,
right?
But he ended up, you know, kind of being a Ellen Barkin,
pretty much, yeah.
You know, who was not like that, and,
but yes,
you know, of course, you're gonna run into one bad apple.
Well, like I
here
said,
we are.
I think it, I really feel like it's a more of a case of sour grapes more than it is,
okay.
or blowing stuff,
sour apple.
Or blowing stuff out of proportion more than it is every single other ex is hiding shit. You see what I'm saying?
Well, she seems to be the only exception.
Her and Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Grey made,
you know,
Jennifer Grey commented about his jealousy. But, you know, you can...
But she's still...
I get jealous.
Spoke well of him. You know, I've been that jealous guy. But that being said, Jennifer Grey still said he was a very sweet person.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, he was just a jealous guy.
But, yeah, so Ellen Barkin is the only one who really had nothing but negative to say.
Right. That being said, Ellen Barkin does not have a sterling reputation for being a sweet person in Hollywood. Just going to put that out there.
Agreed. Neither does Jennifer Grey.
No. And she published that dirty laundry on herself in a memoir. So.
Yep. Okay, so let's move on. I know I want to. All right. Next up, Miss Kate Moss.
Wow.
Now, I love this girl. She is cute, sweet, funny, and pretty. What happened?
Well, you know, Kate Moss and Johnny Depp were the power couple before we were talking about Brangelina.
Right.
You know, and, you know, what is it? Ben Affleck and...
I know. Before any of that, you had Kate and Johnny.
They were huge. Huge. And they went for a long time.
4 years.
How many?
Four.
What? You know, they were beautiful together.
They did. Oh, they did look very good together.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like a logical kind of progression.
And you probably don't know who this writer is. I did not know. I had to look him up. But once I looked him up, I got it. Writer George. You okay?
What was his name?
Lots of interference going on. I'm sorry. Writer George Wayne. He wrote the celebrity Q&A column for Vanity Fair until 2015. He claims he was the inquisitor. He was the one who would put the celebrities on the hot seat.
Right.
So he's the one who claims to have introduced them at a party. I heard another story where someone else claimed to have introduced them at a restaurant. So there's a couple of what is the music going on? Carrie?
Pardon me?
What is the music going on in your background?
I have no music.
Well, we can hear it.
Oh, no, sorry, it's my alarm. So sorry, no, it's for me putting the kids down.
Oh, no worries.
That's my sugar.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, crap. All right, well, we're going to have to get through this quickly. Okay.
Yes.
Kate Moss. This is the big deal. This is why she is going to be on the stand on Wednesday to testify on Johnny's behalf, to rebut the comments that Amber Heard has made about Johnny pushing her down a flight of stairs. There was a rumor at one point that Johnny had pushed Kate down a flight of stairs. So, during the only physical incident that anyone can corroborate, that person would be her sister. And her sister tells the tale that she was standing at the top of the stairs. Johnny and Amber were arguing. It got physical. The sister yelled at them to stop. Her name is Whitney. Whitney yelled at them to stop, got in between the two of them. Her back was still to the stairs. And Amber's quote is, "I just, in my head, instantly thought of Kate Moss and the stairs, and I swung at him." So, this is not the first time she's referenced.
We've only got
Kate Moss and Vanessa, because we're not doing Amber.
Yeah, but you know, apparently in the trial, either this week or maybe it was towards the beginning, Amber said, you know, "I thought about Kate and I didn't want to be that victim, so I defended myself."
Right, yes, it's not the first time. And I think you're right. I think you're absolutely 100% correct. We're going to take the last three. Kate Moss, Vanessa Paradis, and we're going to have to talk a little bit about Amber. So we're going to take those three, and they will be on next Johnny Week. Not next Johnny Week, because next Johnny Week is his birthday week. So we're not going to do that. We're going to do it the next Johnny Week after that. So
okay.
We're going to put this on pause. Carrie, I know you got stuff to do, and I appreciate you joining me out here today. So guys, you know how to reach us. You know how to find us. DepHeadsAndHiddleStoners@yahoo.com. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, all kinds of different streaming services. You can find us on our blog at DepHeadsHiddleStoners.com. Or you can go through BarryReese.net and hit the link. Let's see what else. You can find us on Facebook under the group DepHeadsAndHiddleStoners. You can find us on Insta at DepHeadsAndHiddleStoners. I do believe that's all of it. Anything else, Carrie?
No, that's it. But, and, you know, thank you, subscribers on all platforms. If you hit these likes, subscribe, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Guys, like us because you know we like you. Come on.
Exactly.
Send us an email. Let us know what you think. Tell us what to do and don't. Give us some ideas. Give us some suggestions. We love you guys. Have a great night.
Have a great night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.